KPFK.
ICE is escalating deportation operations around the Los Angeles area. But if you are stopped by ICE officers, you have constitutional rights, regardless of your immigration status. If you or someone you know has been detained or wants to report ICE, more information is available at CIRLA at 888-624-4752 for legal help and resources. It is bilingual. More information at CHIRLA.org.
Hi, this is V. Neal, and you are listening to KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, California.
From the icy cold curves of Angeles Crest to the sunny shores of PCH and around the world on KPFK.org, this is The Car Show, broadcasting every Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m. here on KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles for over 52 years. I am your humble host, Mark Vaughn of Autoweek.com. Please go to Autoweek, click on all my articles, leave nice comments, okay, to counter out the nasty comments. I am joined this week and every week by my co-host, an attorney specializing in automotive law, a Motor Press Guild member and owner of not one, but two Mazdas, a Miata, and an RX-8, Michelle Spencer. Welcome, Michelle.
I'm here. Thank you, Mark. Glad to be here with you again for our 53rd year on the air. Not me and you, but the show.
53rd year. I'm older than that. And our normal co-host, our third wheel, the tri of triumvirate, Carl Brower. He is on assignment. He is not here. He went to SEMA and he never came back. I'm sure he'll have some stories to tell us. So, Carl, if you're out there, knock once.
Yes, tell us if you were buried in the Bugatti or somewhere else.
That'd be fine with me. I mean, if I was buried in them, not Carl. We're not. Oh, he's not going to listen to this anyway. Okay. Instead of Carl Brower, it took three guys to replace Carl Brower. And this time we are very happy and honored to have with us three guys I have admired for many, many years, not just for their business acumen, but for their excellent taste in motorcycles. Ladies and gentlemen, this week for this show, we have the three founders and owners of Pro Italia up there in Glendale, Verdugo Hills area. Welcome, please, Bill Nation, Eric Leewald, and Glenn Morgan. All three of them are on two mics somewhere out there.
Sure. Howdy. Hi, I'm Bill Nation.
Hey, Mark.
Thanks for having us.
Welcome.
It is nice to have you guys. We got a whole hour to talk. There's going to be a lot of motorcycle talk this time around. So feel free to stick around. Motorcycles are cool and fast, and Italian bikes are the coolest, as we will hear. We will hear more about it. Do you guys have, because we start out with a calendar, do you have one of your taco Saturdays or Sundays or coming up so we can put that in the calendar?
Got one spot. I believe we do them the first Saturday of the month. Is when we do that. We have a cookout 9 o'clock to about 10 o'clock. It's the Ducati Club LA. We welcome everybody else. So watch our emails and that will feed you.
Where can people get your emails? It's proitalia.com.
Proitalia.com, or just go to our website, our Instagram site, or our Facebook, or our active media.
Okay, good. We will. So that's one calendar item out of the way. And I have been there. The tacos are good. And I snuck in on a Suzuki SV650, which looks like a Ducati Monster. I don't know if anybody noticed.
Well, we take conversions.
Conversion. All right. We're going to get a couple of quick calendar items out of the way because a lot of people want to know what's going on. I just got back from the Ford Immersive Experience, which is kind of like it's an indoor celebration of the Ford Mustang, and it has started today, and you can go to this. It's down there by the LA River, 539 South Mission Road in Los Angeles. It's right before you go over the 4th Street Bridge on the east side of the river. 539 South Mission Road. You can get in. Tickets prices start at $26. And it takes about, it's, I would say, I don't know, 45 minutes to get through this whole thing. You walk in, there's a history presentation on the history of the Mustang. They show a little documentary with Jay Leno talking about what Mustang means to him and a few other big wheels. And William Clay Ford is there. Jim Farley, the current president, they're all in this documentary. And then the screen lifts up and you walk into the next room. And it's, you know, that Van Gogh experience where you can walk in and you're surrounded by Starry Night and all these other Van Gogh. Actually, I have a couple of Van Goghs here. I don't think they're original. I underpaid for them. But anyway, it's like that. You walk into the room and then the projection goes on around you. And so the Mustang can turn on a turntable to go along with the projection around it. It's a little bit disconcerting. So if you're as old as I am, take one of the seats there and sit down for it. And if it gets too goofy, just, you know, I don't know what to tell you. And then you go into the next room and there's an even more immersive thing that makes you even more a little bit disoriented. And then you go in and you sit down in these chairs. And if you've been to Universal Studios, a lot of those rides now, you're sitting there and there's a huge screen in front of you and you're like flying over the Grand Canyon and stuff. It's like that, except it's a dystopian future controlled by robots and you are driving through it in your Mustang. So, you know, it's not unlike Los Angeles is right now. So, and you come out of that and you can buy, they give you, I think your ticket is good for $500 off on any Ford product at your Ford dealer. So if you're planning to buy a Ford, go there and check it out. Again, it is at 539 South Mission Road. I think you have to sign up and get tickets for it. And if you click on the ticket icon here, the way you get, oh, I've got some actor looking at me. I don't want him. I want the ticket information. Tickets. Oh yeah. You just go to this site and you'll be set. Start at MustangImmersive.com and that'll get you directions and tickets and everything. I have spent way too much time talking about this. So what else do we have? Michelle, quickly, we'll get through this. Tustin, something in Tustin?
Yeah, down here in Orange County, we have the Tustin Legacy Cars and Coffee tomorrow, November 9th, 7:30 to 10 a.m. And that's at 1705 Flightway in Tustin. That's off the 5 freeway at Red Hill. And then the other thing I wanted to mention is we've got the end of the NHRA finals season at Pomona coming up on November 13th through 16th. So if you want tickets to that, NHRA.com is the place to go.
And the Cal Club Sports Car Club is having its 75th anniversary at Button Willow on November 15th. Cal Club, one of the, actually, the, you know, you talk about Phil Hill and all these great drivers, Carroll Shelby, everybody, they all drove in Cal Club events back in the 50s. Go to Cal Club HQ at calclub.com. And, see if you can get into that. That is November 15th. And another interesting thing, Michelle, did you know about this? Bob Hall, the inventor, the father of the Mazda Miata. Did you see that?
I did see that. Yes. And, you know, we've been talking so much about Sam Mattani, you know, in his passing and that he was the father of the Miata.
No, Sam Mattani is the author of the book.
Author. Wait,
who we had on last week. He is still very much alive. Sam, if you're listening.
Sorry, Sam.
Not dead yet. If you know something, Michelle, about Sam, then please break it to us gently. Sam's friends and family are driving down the road listening to the car show. What? He's dead, man.
No, Tom Mattano. Okay.
Tom Mattano.
Rebooting.
Yes.
Yikes. No, I didn't know about Bob Hall as being someone at Mazda who was also very involved with creation and bringing the Mazda Miata to the world. So, yeah, this is great.
Yeah, Bob Hall, when Tom Mattano passed away and I did an obituary on him, I talked to Bob and he gave me a big background about it all. And there were many fathers of the Miata. And I guess Bob was one of them, but he also credits many others. So anyway, so he will be at Altadena Cars and Coffee, Bob Hall, and it's free on Sunday, November 16th at 409 Woodbury Road in Altadena from 10 to 3. So it's a whole festival going on up there, and you can see the great Bob Hall. He's great to talk to. Last time I saw him was at the Art Center gathering, and he was surrounded by design students who were asking him all kinds of cool questions. And then quickly, November 22nd, Lions Automobilia Foundation is proud to present its inaugural art and design experience. That's November 22nd from 4 to 8 p.m. And it's there's a lot of stuff going on down there. Go to lionsautomobilia.org and get more information on that. And Michelle, the last item is you.
Last item is Formula One is coming back to Vegas. Or are we going to do Seven Stock is coming back on November 22nd? Yeah, well, Seven Stock is November 22nd. And as we had Bernie Herrera, one of the organizers, on recently to reveal the location. It's going to be in Orange County at Oak Canyon Park. And you have to go to their Seven Stock Instagram page in order to get registered if you want to show your ride, which I did this week and I got approved. Ooh, thank
people
God.
Can see what the RX-8 that you have or your Miata. Which are you bringing?
Well, this is rotary only, so it's the RX-8 this time.
Okay, very cool. And of course, Formula One Las Vegas.
Yes. Okay. So, word on the street is that it is a good time to buy tickets and get a package together if you have a favorite hotel group in Vegas or location that is right on the strip or near the track. You can probably get a hospitality suite and a ticket and a room package for a very good deal right now. Gentlemen, have you been involved with F1?
Well, Glenn and I, my quick story is, yes, we went to the first race in Vegas. First one I've ever been to. I've been a fan all my life. I had a customer who turns out was the new CEO of marketing for Red Bull. And he was hemming and hawing about buying a motorcycle, and he was kind of embarrassed. He's just moved over, and he goes, you know, I have tickets. He said, really? So he hooked us up in the full boogie hospitality area, and it was really great. It was cold. The qualifying was at midnight, but we saw a Formula One race, and that was trick.
Yes.
And the sound is, yeah.
It's incredible. And wasn't that the year that they had the announcer from the wrestling matches do the introductions?
Yes. Yeah.
That was a trick.
The poor Europeans, whatever they thought of us before that, it could have gotten better.
It's a good thing that F1 signed that contract for multi years before all the circus.
10 years. Taxi cab driver I had in Vegas. Actually, it was a limo driver because that's how I roll, yo. Yeah, and he was telling me, "Oh, it's 10 years, man. We're stuck with them."
Yeah, another 8 years or 7 years.
They were all the lights and everything, and the fences and everything is all being put up in these massive hospitality suites.
And they take out all the trees and everything, but I guess after the first year or two, they have some of the infrastructure that stays. So it's not as much of a disruption to the people who actually live in Vegas and have to work there as it was, because there were major complaints from the residents.
They open the streets up during the day, I believe. I believe the roads are opening up.
Crazy.
All right. Kind of fun to walk up and down the racetrack on your way to the track.
Yeah. But anyway, okay, so we're going to move on into the news section, and this is our news hook, ladies and gentlemen. Pro Italia has expanded its existing floor space. This is newsworthy. Yay. So let's see. Who wants to tell us? Bill, Eric, or Glenn wants to tell us about this?
Bill knows the most.
Bill.
The carpet store. Have you ever been to our shop?
Yep.
Right next door to us was Lycosynta Carpet. And for years, I looked back. We finally looked at the first offer we made to the guy in 2009. We'd love to take over your store.
Wow.
He wasn't ready to go. Anyway, long story short, one day we were walking by back in the springtime, and the guys he had sublet, first they had sublet to somebody else. They were moving out, and the son of the owner of the third generation said, "Hey, I know you've wanted this place for a long time. I'm going to sign it with a broker here at 5 p.m. But if you want it, you can have our next amount of dollars," which was considerably under what we had offered him in 2009. And now we have it. So we're really jazzed about having the 6,000 square foot space. It makes sense. It's right next door. That whole block at one time was a car dealership, I guess, 100 years ago. So Glenn particularly has been heading up the remodel from there.
It's really happy to have it. Yeah.
And it's a nice showroom. It's open now, and it is packed with red Italian motorcycles, right?
Yes, that, and we got some Kawasaki's, Harleys, KTM. We are in the used bike business. We take them all in. As long as it's got two wheels, we don't do four wheelers or trailers. No goats or trailers. Say
goats. I had a bunch of goats. I've been saving goats for years to get a rally.
Well, let's talk.
Oh my goodness!
Well, all right, so it's just right. Showroom space, right?
Showroom, yes.
Okay. Cool. And how many square foot?
It's about 6,000 square foot. And we've been letting go of what used to be called the bridal store, because we've had that 13 years. That's where they had a store that made bridal dresses. We took that over because we had to have some more space. So we finally got that sublet, and we're consolidating. And the way the business is these days, you got to watch your expenses tighter. So this is a really good thing what's happening. We're very happy to make this move.
All right. Did you throw a big party?
Not yet, but we are going to do that. We are.
Do you have a date yet?
Early December for December 6th or something.
I think so. Yeah,
I don't think it's formalized.
We're going to get done before the end of the year. Yes.
Yeah. That would put like Taco Day.
Yeah. Taco Day. I went there when you guys opened. Briefly had the KTM store. I remember that opening party. That was good.
It was a 1-year affair. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess KTM didn't work out.
Well, we're not really dirt is different for us, and we are learning dirt because Ducati does sell dirt bikes now, and we're
right.
One of the two dealers in California, and in Los Angeles County, that signed up to become dirt bike dealers. So we're it's kind of a new frontier for us.
Ooh. Yeah, dirt is different. You slide around on it, and it's really hard to control the bike. But if you fall off, it doesn't hurt as much as cement.
Yeah.
So there you go. I have tried. I have fallen off on both. And
speak from experience.
So, don't fall off. I don't know what to tell you about that. But, yeah, Ducati just came out with a motocross bike. I mean, they had.
That's what I'm talking about, yeah.
Yeah, they had the adventure bike they've had that for many, many years now. That's a very comfortable bike. I think most people who ride those, it's like car people who get into a big SUV. They just want to be comfortable on the street. They don't necessarily go off-road. It's nice that they could go off-road, but it's really comfortable on the street. And that's how I feel about that wonderful Ducati.
Ooh, there. Yeah.
But
what's your top seller for your Ducati?
Oh, I'd say right now it's the Panigale V2. Yeah, it's a sport bike. It's a brand new version, 2025. A little controversial because it came out, the engine was smaller than the previous bike, but has also lost 40 pounds. It looks great, and it's been a hit.
Oh.
It's been a hit. The other bike it replaced really went back to, I think, maybe 2014, the old Panigale. So it took a while, but it's been good. It's been good.
Okay.
I mean, the super bikes are not selling like they used to because 220 horsepower is really not usable for anybody. They're scary. You're an expert to ride it. They're fantastic. But the mid-size bikes are where it's at these days.
But nowadays, motorcycles have all kinds of inertial measuring unit intervention. So it'll detect when you start to slip and slide and do a wheelie and do a stoppie, and it will intervene to save you. And 20 years ago, the leader bikes came out and they didn't have any of that. And those were very problematic.
But they were 140 horsepower. They weren't like
that's right
what they are now, too.
That's right. But tires are stickier. So I don't know. I'm making the case for horsepower, even though I can't exploit it myself. I was just telling the guys I am going to get a Panigale V2
from Ducati, and we can that's coming up in a couple of weeks, and I'll be able to report back on how the new bike was. I think the smaller engine will not hinder me at all, because I'm not going to exploit 220 horsepower or whatever the super bikes are worth. But I think it'll, the last one that I had, I want to say it was about, I don't know, 7 or 8, 5 years ago, something like that. And it was just the most absolutely fantastic experience I ever had. I remember going up Angeles Crest, and you just, you know, on the way to Angeles Crest, you're kind of humped over the steering, over the gas tank, and you're trying to, you know, you got to crane your neck up to see it all, and you're grumbling and complaining, and you go through your first corner, and it's like, it's just this perfect melding of machine and road and human, and you just keep, and every turn is like that. You're going around corners like you're in slow motion, but you're not. You're going really fast. It's just, it was a life-changing experience for me, and I started saving up for one then, and I still am about a tenth of the way to afford. Oh, looking forward to it. It should be good. What is the V2 retail for?
They let's see, they are $15,995. That, and then the S model, which has upgraded suspension, is you can call me out on this, fans. I believe it's $18,600, a couple of thousand bucks more for the Olin's suspension.
They have I understand they have changed the Panigale V2 a little bit to where the riding position is supposed to be more comfortable now, and a couple of other changes were made too.
Yeah, the bike physically is smaller, it's lighter. The handlebars are kind of even with the triple clamps. They're not clip-ons.
Uh-huh.
So they've gone more like the other super popular bike we have, the Aprilia RS 660 or the RS 57.
Okay. Yeah, I got to ride a 457 about a year ago, and that was really fun. But I think, you know, once you get up to over 1,000 cc's, you get spoiled and you want that in everything. So I don't know. But you guys have an interesting origin story. You know, all our characters in the Marvel universe have origin stories. Batman has an origin story. Everybody does. And yours is pretty interesting. Which one of you three, preferably the one with the best microphone, can tell the origin story of Pro Italia? Who wants to do that?
Well, I'll go real quick. I've been
trade it off. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll trade it off. We'll pass it along. We all met in college, and I had a Triumph Bonneville, and Glenn was interested, learned to ride, and bought himself a 450 Ducati Scrambler, probably the only Scrambler in East Tennessee that I'm aware of. And
Eric, I think your microphone's acting kind of funny. I'm getting an echo. I think having two microphones
up here
in the same room. So okay, maybe whoever's not talking, turn off your microphone.
Let's mute ours. Yeah.
How about that? Okay. Sorry, Eric. Go ahead. Oh. So you guys were all in college.
One of you
had a Norton T-shirt on.
Yeah, yeah. Glenn and I were making a movie right after college, and we had an all points bulletin to any students that wanted to help work on it for no money. And there in the back of the room was a guy, skinny guy in a Norton jacket. And so we ran up to him and said, "Oh, you ride too?" And that was the beginning. And we all came out here to Hollywood to work in movies. Bill's a photographer, Glenn is an editor, me as a writer, and we still rode. And one day, the local guy lost his Woods Motors lost its lease, and we looked at each other and said, "Oh, how hard could it be to open a shop?" And we didn't know any better, but we tried. And 38 years later, we're still kind of holding on, making it work.
I should mention my friend Earl Campbell, who I rode bikes with out here. He raced a Ducati 900 SS and had worked a little bit with Woods. His sort of lifetime ambition was to own some kind of motorcycle shop. And so that was an opening. And Bill and Eric had sort of bankrolled me in a little editing company in Hollywood a year before. So we fancied ourselves as businessmen. And so anyway, we ended up bankrolling Earl basically to start the shop. And he was the visionary behind it. He's the one who created the Pro Italia Ara, and we certainly helped him get it off the ground. And then we parted ways with him after a few years, and it's been the three of us and some other occasional investors as well. But for the last several years, we've just been back to the three of us.
Yeah.
There was a little part about your origin story that I enjoy. You had to promise the city that you wouldn't wash motorcycles or something. There's something weird like that. Glenn, tell that story. Not because you're the best storyteller, but because you have the best microphone and it does not echo. So the rest of you guys are banned from talking. Just Glenn.
Oh, I'm not sure I know about that one. I mean, we were supposed to have a clarifier or something.
I do. Because we were about to be put out of business, and the city of Glendale was a warrant out for arrest because we had opened up and we hadn't. We found out after the fact that a clarifier that was too large to put into our little shop was required by statute. And we thought it was all over. And I went down to the court to tell them, just give us a little more time. And we got an engineer to sign off saying, well, if we didn't dump our wastewater, which we didn't have any, if we didn't wash the bike, then we didn't need this $1 million clarifier to put into. So, it almost shut us down, but a nice letter from an engineer got us through.
And that's how Pro Italia was founded.
Yes.
All these many years later.
I was going to mention too that, you know, Eric and I met through the film committee. We were both interested in films, our first year in college. And then he had a Triumph Bonneville, and I was kind of interested in bikes. So he taught me how to ride on that Bonneville. And then, when I got out of school, I had a job, but no money, and Eric had a little, so he actually financed that 450 Ducati Desmo for me. That's how I got into motorcycles. I paid him back $50 a month or something over the next
$750.
$750. And you can finance. I noticed on your page, you can finance motorcycles. So if you go in there and you don't have the full $28 million it costs to buy a Ducati, you can finance it through you guys, sure. Right?
Yes. Way out the door. Yes. Just a little perspective about when we talk about when we were founded. 87, the bikes that we took on originally were Ducati. It was Ducati, I think Moto Guzzi, Laverda, and Kajiva, because Kajiva owned, they had taken over Ducati before Ducati became independent again. That was the basis of our lineup. And it was a very small space. There was not where we are currently. It was up the street. It was, I want to say, about 2,300 square foot building. Very, you know, had to kind of turn the bikes, jiggle the handlebars sideways to fit them through the doors.
Right. It had been a travel agency before we took it over.
Oh. Travel agency, isn't it? Was that a real travel agency, or is that one of those travel agents?
This is pre-travel agency.
I'm sure the city of, what is it, Glendale, Glendora? I'm sure that.
Glendale. We're good taxpayers, though. And actually, the city does treat us pretty well. One of the stories I like to say is this is 10 years ago. The neighbors complained because we have bikes on the street. And the guy comes up and he goes, the inspector comes. He goes, you know, you're not supposed to have these bikes out here without plates on them. I'm going to come back Monday. I don't want to see any of these bikes out here. I said, we're not open on Monday. He goes, I'm coming back Monday. You understand? Okay.
You're like, okay, perfect. See you then.
There's probably a lot of stories about sort of a small business and all the things you have to do.
Another thing we like to tell is when we signed up to start this dealership, the guy who was the Ducati rep at the time was kind of an advocate of ours because we had no experience filling out the application form for the dealership. There's a thing, you know, among the principals, how many cumulative years do you have in the motorcycle business? And we looked around each other and wrote zero. And? We still got the dealership, but now we have like 110.
Yeah, all three. What's 38 times? Michelle, you're the smart one. 38 times three? 100 and...
Words has a poor knee.
Do you guys do any customizing? Like, you know, like Yenko used to customize, even though he was a dealer for, you know, Chevys or whatever. He would customize and send them out the door. Do you guys do any of that?
I would say in the beginning, that was really Earl's forte. There was a lot more of that. He actually got to the point when he was commissioning having parts made when there was no aftermarket of any sort.
And that was something, we did these custom bikes. They had magazines back then, as you may recall. So we get these bikes into bike magazines. And that's one way we got a lot of our reputation for not just, you know, around the country and around the world a little bit. We were, you know, known for having custom bikes and stuff in the magazines. And we also provided the test bikes and stuff for Ducati at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. That custom business has pretty well gone away, I would say.
Yeah, because it's not like Harleys or something where you customize them and the fenders are a block and a half long and they'd scrape over a rain gutter and things. I mean, a sport bike like you guys seem to specialize in, those are absolute bare minimum engineered to go around a corner and do it really well. And there's not a lot of room for, you know, putting on wings and things and metal flake paint or anything.
You can't bedazzle it on site.
We have some outliers, but for the most part, no. It's
what's your website if people want to check out your inventory?
It is proitalia.com, and we have all of our new and used inventory on there.
Yeah, we've got usually about 40 used bikes, pre-owned bikes in stock, and probably another 120 new bikes in inventory.
Okay. And what is the address of Pro Italia? Again, I think you said it once before.
3319 North Verdugo Road in Glendale, California, 91208. We're up where the 2 and the 210 freeway meet.
You're right.
Easy through Saturdays.
Yeah, you're not far from Angeles Crest Highway, the best place to ride your product.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Just don't show up on Mondays.
I was at the Best of France in Italy last weekend. You know, we kind of do reviews here, so sometimes we review car shows we've been to, and I saw there they always have a small motorcycle section, and I saw a Ducati 996 and a Moto Guzzi 1100 something. Are you guys, the 996 was an iconic bike for Ducati, wasn't it?
Yes. That was it Tamburini? Was he built?
Was that a follow-up to the 916, which was iconic.
I believe, call me out again. I believe Tamburini did the MV Agusta F4 and then did the, I believe he's the one that did the 996. And it was the iconic bike when, Ducati, I think 94 they started. The last ones were 92, and then it was so popular they retooled and made one run of them later. But when the next series came out, the 999 series bike, it was kind of panned by the customers. It had the stacked headlights and the double-sided swing arm, a superior bike, but it was tough for them to get the public to warm up to it so much that they built the 999 and then finally replaced it with a bike that was kind of a silhouette of the original 998 series. They're still very collectible, the other 996.
Yeah, but it's hard to follow up something that's just everybody considers such the beautiful, perfect bike. Where do you go from there? Like a lot of car styling and stuff too.
But I will say, until you ride them, I ride new bikes now. They're a whole much nicer to ride. They're comfortable. They're safer. I mean, I'm happy for people to have older bikes and preserving them, but come ride a new bike. We do offer demo rides. You will feel the difference.
Yeah, it's nice. Last bike I rode of yours was an Energica. How do you say that?
Energica.
Energica, the Italian Ducati, the Italian electric Ducati, I think is what some people said of it. And it certainly did have a lot of get up and go, but that company got up and went. So
yeah,
no longer around, sadly.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember the what was the other one? The Moto Guzzi 1100. Does that strike any bells?
Yeah, Sport 1100 maybe. They from about 25 years ago.
Was it a cruiser style or was it what?
It was a sport bike. It looked kind of sport bikey.
It's a very long sport bike.
Yeah.
Yeah, not very nice Guzzi.
Yeah, and Glenn, you have a Moto Guzzi, right?
I am between Moto Guzzis. I've ridden mostly Guzzis over the last 30 years or so, but I now ride a Ducati Multistrada.
Well, we were like coming back from the crest, going into the sun, and I watched Bambi run in front of him, and the second Bambi took his front wheel out. So that was the end of his E85. He said to switch horses after that. He was fine after a visit to the ER, but he was fine. I picked him up, but he's on a Ducati now.
That I assume that you sued the deer, LA.
Right. Interfering with your path.
Call one of those numbers on the bus stop bench. Trabajamos para usted.
Yeah.
Everybody speaks Spanish. All right. Anyway, just dial all twos and you'll get through to that guy. He'll help you out. And the deer will pay dearly. All right. What else do we have going here? Best of France and Italy was fun. Have you guys ever been to that show? It's a car show.
Oh, yeah. I love it. I've been doing this, leading a bike ride to Death Valley the same weekend most years. So I've been missing it lately, but I really do like that show.
I went out and I showed my Italian. See, this is how bad I am. I have an Italian car too. I have a 61 Lancia Appia, and I showed it there at the Best of France in Italy. It did not win any awards. What's time? Sadly, but I got to tell you guys a couple, last month, 2 months ago at the San Marino Motor Classic, it won third in class in post-war preservation. So, and this is an Italian car, and it starts and you can drive it down the freeway. The four in the tree shifter works. I mean, old Italian stuff, even the cheaper stuff, like this was not, a Ferrari or anything, but even the cheaper stuff, it has character and it has a feel to it that is unlike anything else. And I think that probably carries over with motorcycles too.
Sure. What do you say? Yes. Yeah. Glenn and I both own Fiat 124s at one point, track in Knoxville. No, so we have belayer discovered. This wasn't we met.
Those are exotic for East Tennessee. That's the land of Fords and Chevys and American cars.
When we each owned a 72, 73 Pinto wagon.
There you go. See?
You admit to that. You admit to did it have the styling down the side and the little porthole window on the back?
That was later.
No, but mine did have slot mags on it.
Right.
It was manual. Cool.
Well, that was essentially a Formula Ford, really.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it was true.
It was. It had a Formula Ford engine.
Right
in it of did. Four cylinder
liter engine it was.
Yeah.
German engine was German, I believe.
So you could put a Cosworth head on it.
Yeah.
And beat all the other Ford Pintos. Right. I too had a Ford Pinto at that time. I inherited the family Pinto and it was blowing blue smoke the whole time I had it. I had it throughout graduate school, so I was working as a reporter in LA driving this Ford Pinto around, and I would go to these events, I'd get the stories to cover because I worked the graveyard shift or the swing shift. And so I'd show up at some Republican fundraiser for Senator Pete Wilson in Century City, and I'm like sputtering up in this thing, and there's blue smoke pouring out the back. And I actually had the Secret Service coming up, checking me out, wondering thinking I was some kind of maniac, which of course I was. I had to be to have that car. But that thing, despite using up a lot of oil in the time I had it, it kept running. So there's no shame in Pinto ownership as long as it happened 40 years ago.
Right. Pintos were famous in the litigation sphere also because of the placement of their lovely gas tank.
Well, not the wagons.
Except for the wagons. That's correct.
Well, the wagon didn't have the gas tank that ripped open.
There was some brackets that would open into the open up the gas tank if they got hit hard enough.
Yeah. If you got rear-ended.
A little more squish room in the wagon would be hit on rear.
Yes.
Because the thing I remember was that the problem was they would get rear-ended. The gas tank would be pushed up over the differential, and on top of the differential was sort of an exposed bolt that would then just tear open the gas tank.
Yeah, and then it would catch fire.
You're really taking the Pinto depreciation. You're really taking them.
And this is what, this is what killed the Pinto. So sorry, Pinto.
I was on a game.
Yeah. Sadly, it's they are all gone. Well, you still see them at what's that other show up at Monterey? Conquerors de Le Mans.
Oh yes, and you used to see it at Fabulous Fords Forever, which they don't do anymore. But you'd see a bunch of them. I was always astounded at how many Pintos would show up to Fabulous Fords Forever. There was the Disco Pinto. That was my favorite.
The one with the little mirrors all over.
Yes, covered in mirrors.
Yeah, it was covered. The whole thing was covered in mirrors. And I don't know how it had the, what do you call it? Not the curb weight, but the ability, how the springs could hold that much weight up. And can you imagine being a pedestrian? You get hit by that thing?
You'd be blinded first.
There's nothing good about the Pinto, except maybe the wagon. I think the wagon probably worked for a lot of people.
Yeah, I would think that the wagon, especially with the fake woodies on the side. I always left the fake wood on the side. That was my favorite. You know, like, that is cool.
Fake wood. That works well.
Fake wood.
It works well.
That fake Pinto.
Remember the advertising, they called it the country squirt instead of
Oh, man. I remember at the time there was this was before there were memes or whatever you call those things, but there was a cartoon or something, and it showed a guy in front with in a Pinto and the guy behind with an Audi 5000. Remember the Audi 5000 was supposed to accelerate with no warning, and then so they both.
Good one.
Out of luck.
A match made in heaven.
Those were the days.
Litigation heaven.
Those were the days. Do you guys have any? I know you don't want to review necessarily a new bike, but did you have any motorcycles you wanted to discuss in our reviews section?
Well, I'll say, I ride a Ducati Multistrada now, and I really love that bike, and it's really a great performing bike. Actually, about 30 years ago, I got early 90s. I got the original Ducati adventure bike, which was an Elephant, a 900. It was made by Kajiba, but sold over here. And I was in my 40s, I guess, at the time, or about 40. And I thought, this is the bike I want to have now because it's just riding upright, comfortable, kind of swore off the cafe type racers I'd raced before. So that's a really great bike. Eric has one. I have one. Bill rides one a lot. And you're going to talk about your favorite track bike, Bill.
Oh yeah. I've completed all Ducati. Right now Aprilia is the other white meat Italian. We've been a dealer for them since 99, since they came on, innovative company, and in MotoGP, they are right there. They had a bike, they have a racing department, produces a few bikes a year for racing. And they offered us called an RS660 Trofeo. They brought about 8 or 9 of them in the country for the last 2 years. And we kept one. The last one came in. It is it's still the same engine, but it's a blueprinted bike. Built by the factory. Everything is bespoke. They were $23,000. They really weren't anything that much more than you would have to do if you had to build one of those to race with. And when you ride it, it's special. If I've ridden another bike, I have another shop owns a, I think it's an a 2000 Ducati 748 RS, which is another bike that was built to race. There's no lights, there's no anything else, but there's no electronics on it. But those, that new Aprilia, it steps your level up so high just because you're on a pure bike that's designed for people. That's what it was to make to do with. But it's in our showroom. You can come see it. We leave it in the new Aprilia showroom, and then just you look at the details, and it's really special.
And if you're just joining us, our guests today are the founders and current owners for 38 years of Pro Italia in Glendale, Bill Nation, Eric Leewald, and Glenn Morgan. And they're regaling us with tales of great Italian bikes, past and perhaps even in the future. Do you have any insider information about the future of motorcycles? I mean, right now, over in Italy, we've got EICMA coming, going on. It's a long bunch of Italian words, which just means motorcycle show. Yeah. Exposizione Cicletto e Motocicletto Associazione, yeah, or something like that.
Oh, that was, yeah, beautiful.
That was palpable. English, Italian. But do you guys know anything about what's happening in the future for Italian motorcycles?
Well, they threaten or say there's going to be some electrification, but I think with the way things have gone the last year, I don't know if that's going to happen or not. Ducati did buy out and became the one make for the e-bike class in MotoGP e-bike. But it seems to be the trend of bikes now is to be lighter and smaller displacement. That's be kind of where the business is going. And also with Ducati especially, lots of very special edition high-end bikes that kind of mimicking what Lamborghini and Bentley and Ferrari do with making more exclusive bikes. They will have within the end of the, by the end of this year, we're going to have some Panigale Lamborghini themed bikes. We're lucky enough. We had five customers who bought those, two of which were special. One of only 63, the brand built in the world. You can design the bike your own way. So I think the business is more to the medium, the small bikes, and then the very exclusive high end. Where we see it.
Do you guys see a future for guys coming in to get a bike for commuting, or is this just for fun stuff?
It's mostly fun. This afternoon we sold, which is probably our best selling bike right now, an RS 457. I think it might have been his first bike. And I think they are commuting on them. Some are using them for transportation because it's a stylish bike. So we do see people actually do use them for riding, but for the most part, in the United States, they're hobby.
Especially the kind of bikes that we sell, yeah, that are more sport oriented.
We're not selling scooters. I talked to my buddy Balls down that runs Moto Forza down at Escondido. He's a Vespa dealer. And he says, because you think those would be for kidding me, he says the new e-powered bicycles, which there's no regulations on at all, have completely killed the scooter business. You don't have to have a license. You don't have to wear any gear if you don't want to. There'll probably be some regulation on that, but the commuters are riding those and the e-bikes, the pedal bikes with pedals.
Michelle, is there going to be litigation against these young kids on their e-bikes?
Well, yeah. You sue the parents.
Sue the parents.
Sue the parents. Yeah, come on. You don't. Yeah, you don't sue the kid. You sue the parent for negligent supervision. That's the cause of action.
Really, there's such a thing.
Oh yes.
Even for high school aged kids.
Absolutely. Under 18, you're a kid. In the eyes of the law, yes.
Those kids should all be on Ducatis. I think that.
Yeah. I was a kid that age, I'd love to have had.
Yes, the Darwin theory.
Darwin theory. With the way cars, the automotive industry is going, it's all turning into SUVs now. Jaguar can't sell anymore. Cars, so many other. I think BMW and Mercedes are really hanging on to the idea of a sedan and a coupe, but yes, so many other manufacturers are just kind of getting out of it. Do you think the future of motorcycles is going to be driven by adventure bikes, those upright, comfortable things that look really cool and look ready to go off-road, but are just bought for being comfortable? Do you think that future, the trend is going to be
for just bikes like that?
Well, just speaking from Proletalia, we are really still a sport bike shop.
Right.
End of the day, we're a sport bike motorcycle shop. We do well with the Multistradas but a lot of people have more than one bike, frankly. But I don't. And the adventure bikes are great. They have done well for us. We've never done really much of anything with cruisers. But our shop is really a sport bike business still. It's Los Angeles too, where it's a flash town. You know, you want scene, right?
Yeah.
It is a flash town. And I don't want you to reveal any of your Hollywood customers, but it's known that Brad Pitt rides sport bikes. I don't know what brand he chooses. Who's that guy? Christian somebody who played Batman?
Christian Bale?
Yeah, he has this Ducati. When we are speaking of that Ducati 748 RS that shop owns, we re-imported five of them, and he did buy one of those. Well, somebody at the studio bought him as a thank you. He owns one of those.
There you go.
Who was the actor who played in Ford v. Ferrari? Not Matt Damon, but the other guy. Played Ken Miles.
That was Christian Bale.
That's Christian Bale, yeah.
Christian. Oh, that was Christian Bale.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Because I when I interviewed him for Ford v. Ferrari, you know, I asked them what they had, if they had anything interesting. Of course, Matt Damon said, no, I just want to be anonymous. I think he drove a minivan or something. You know, he does have a family, so he is a responsible parent. But Christian said that he had a very cool bike, not a Moto Guzzi. What's the other one? High-end super sport bike.
MV Agusta?
Yeah, MV Agusta, maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know. Anyway, and that's what he had, and he didn't want to talk too much about it, but yeah. So he does like motorcycles, and I guess of course Steve McQueen is the ultimate Hollywood star who liked motorcycles. Although he never got into Italian bikes, did he? He was
Husqvarna.
Yeah, Husqvarna. He was one of the first guys to ride those, and I guess those at the time they were pretty advanced compared to whatever else you had.
For the Hollywood set, because you can wear a helmet and a face, you can go anywhere you want.
Yeah.
Right. And nobody will know.
No one knows who you are.
You can call ahead. Hey, you guys, I'm coming in today. Just make sure the whole place is cleared because I'm coming there at 1 o'clock.
We did.
There was a guy up
in the back.
There was a guy up at Good Vibrations Breakfast Club. Walking around with his full face helmet with a visor down, and everybody's going, "Who is that?" And I'm going, "Hey, man, that could be Brad Pitt. Don't mess
with
that.
There you go. See,
don't flip up his visor, whatever you do, man."
Well, what if it could be a chick?
We don't use pejorative terms here, counsel. We stay clear of those.
Hey, female.
Michelle, have you ever ridden a motorcycle?
No.
Have you ever represented a client who had a motorcycle problem?
Who's been hit? Yes. Or who's been fall? Yes. I've had many motorcycle cases. I'd have to say that the biggest problem comes with lane splitting.
Uh-huh.
And left turns, secondary left turns. So
tell us what happens in the lane splitting. Somebody just cuts in front of them and they...
Okay, so usually you're supposed to go, and I've learned this through the cases, not through my own experience. You're supposed to go slowly if the traffic is stopped, right?
Right.
Well, they go too fast, and then somebody doesn't see them coming from behind because they're not looking, or they're going too fast, and so they can't possibly see them even if they check their mirrors and turn around their shoulder and look. So there's that. They'll whack them while they're changing lanes.
And whose fault is that?
Whose fault is that? It's both their fault.
Oh, so it's equal. So sue anybody for that?
You can sue for that, but you're going to lose 50% of your settlement because you were 50% at fault because you didn't follow the rules.
Oh, okay. So who pays then?
The insurance for whoever gets sued. Right. So the car driver could probably sue the motorcycle guy, but it's only going to be for property damage, right? So the bodily injury is going to come from the motorcycle rider. He's going to be the one who sues.
I know. Yeah, that's true. I know that when I split lanes, man, I am like the most conservative lane splitter in America. And I'm always, in addition to watching in front of me, I'm always checking the mirror for the crazy guy who's coming up behind me. Mm-hmm. As soon as I see him, I pull over and he goes by and he gives me that cool two fingers. Yeah. Show, keep your low down.
Yes.
You know, I refuse to do that because that is, I just think that's kind of.
Well, I appreciate it when I see. Okay. Cause I'm, you know, I'm a Miata rider driver most of the time when I'm on the freeway. I'm in that car. I'm not in my RX-8 because I hate doing a stick in traffic. So I'll take the Miata and I'm a low profile car. Nobody sees me. So I'm right. constantly looking around. I'm like paranoid in that car. So if I see a motorcycle approaching, I move to the left. And then they always thank me. And everyone else is so, you know, H-U-A.
Yeah. Is that a legal term? Yes. Yeah.
Not paying attention. That's translation, not paying attention. Yeah.
I tell myself that if I've got all these things in my head that I think are making me safer. So if you're lane splitting and two cars are side by side, they're not going to come over. So I tell myself that that's okay. And then you can kind of tell, I don't know, spidey sense tells you which drivers are not paying attention or are texting or are just, you know, so self-absorbed that they are not even aware. So I have myself convinced of this, which is the kiss of death. Do you guys split lanes in your riding?
Sure. Oh, yes. Yeah. When I have to, what I say is the only thing worse than splitting lanes is not splitting lanes.
I will second that.
If it's any consolation to the listeners, supposedly the statistics are that the motorcyclists are much more in danger staying in their lane than splitting, and that splitting is a much safer way to drive.
I think I read that somewhere.
Yeah. Well, I've had my safety experts tell me the same thing. So, yeah. And then we get downhill. We get some guys who decide that, you know, they're going to go downhill on the lane splitting, which is fun.
What is that? Down?
Well, like you're down on, what is it? Sepulveda, where you're going downhill and all the traffic is kind of stopped. But you're going really fast and you're catching a lot of speed and they're all sitting there going, "Ooh, gosh, I'm jealous of that guy," you know, but we see accidents like that too, because the speed is just a factor.
Yeah.
And then left turns, because people don't pay attention. They don't see the motorcycle. It's just all about not being visible, you know, to the driver who's not paying attention. So.
You've got to drive like you're a Waymo, you know, with all those LIDAR going everywhere.
Yeah.
We are down to less than a minute here. It's time to thank our guests, Bill Nation, Eric Leewald, and Glenn Morgan, owners and operators of Pro Italia in Glendale for 38 years, all of them good years. And thank you guys for coming on.
Go to proitalia.com.
Go to
information.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Thanks for having us. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. And Michelle, what is our Facebook page?
Yes. If you'd like to follow us and like us on Facebook, go to The Car Show on KPFK 90.7 FM.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And stick around for Rhapsody in Black, a music that sounds great on your car stereo. And we are going to be back next week. And who knows who our guests will be then, but stick around and listen to us Saturday at 1 o'clock right here on The Car Show.
As we get closer to the holiday season, don't forget about supporting KPFK. An easy way to help is to donate a vehicle you no longer need. It's simple. Visit kpfk.org/cars or call 877-573-5288. That's 877-KPFK-AUTO.
The Pacifica mission statement is to establish a foundation organized and operated exclusively for educational purposes,
to encourage and supply outlets for the creative skills and energies of the community,
to engage in any activity that shall contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and between the individuals of all nations, races, creeds,
kids in color to gather and disseminate information on the causes of conflict between any and all of such groups. To promote the study of political and economic problems and of the causes of religious, philosophical, and racial antagonisms. To promote the full distribution of public